Jesus is really, really awesome, isn't he?
Amen.
If you are just overwhelmed with his love and his goodness, and you just want to thank him for what he's doing, real focused, real God-centered and vertically driven, stand up right now. If you just want to thank God for who he is and for who Jesus is in your life, and you just want to tell him so, now's the time. Rick? No, there you go. There you go. Well, that's as good a testimony as you can get. Tyler? Anybody else?
I moved here in 2008, almost 10 years ago now. I searched and searched and searched for a church home. There weren't any, but I knew were mine. I know you were mine. I thank God every day for his sending that man up there for us. He makes all the difference for me. I thank God and you and all of you.
Thank you, Sigrid. Anybody else? You just want to thank Jesus and myself. She does. You all were celebrating, and I was at home mourning that my wife is now a half a century old. Or almost. Tim?
I just praise God also for this body of believers where I have also found home, and for the prayers that are going for the kids in the area, for the school systems, etc., all of them, and how we are realizing our, not just this church, but a bunch of churches are realizing that the old phrase, it takes a village, it takes each one of us loving Christ to be able to love the lost and hurting in our area. And I just thank and glad to be a part of it.
Amen. Something that Jesus has done for you, and you want to thank him publicly. I just feel real uneasy this morning. I don't want to take the focus off of Jesus right now. Man, he's so amazing. Anyone else? Yeah, John.
Just want to praise God for his God's provision. Well, you know, I've been out of work, so family clothes.
Jerry? Anyone else? I don't want to step on anything that the Holy Spirit wants to do today. Anyone else? This whole abiding thing, I talked about it a little bit last week, and in our prayer time this morning, Klaus had talked about the fact that he just really spent a lot of time this week talking about it, and I don't know, today, this is going to be probably the shortest sermon you will ever hear me preach, so enjoy it. But it's just a theme that I know God's been dealing with Tim about this theme as well, and most of you know my friend Robbie's and our friends Bob and Donna Tallman. I spoke to Bob this past week, and it's interesting. He didn't know we were preaching about it, but he has been just really thinking about this whole theme of abiding. And as I kind of have spent some time praying about that this week, I always look at a word and I think, okay, is there another way? I love words. I don't know what it is. I love words. I love getting their meaning and then really understanding what they are intended to communicate. And if you think about that word abiding, is there anyone here that thinks about that and there is a definition to that or a descriptor that pops into your mind? Anybody? For me, my own little personal definition that pops into my head is present tense trust. Present tense trust. Strong's Concordance describes that word abiding, it means to not depart, but to continue to be present. To not depart, but to continue to be present. And the deeper, there's a second definition of that. It means to remain, to dwell, to stay, to wait, and to endure. I talked about that last week, and it's like, I gotta go back to that. To remain. Have you ever been with somebody that was grieving? And you knew they were grieving? Maybe it was a loss of a loved one or something that was going on in their life that was just bigger than what they could fix. It was just beyond their human strength. It was beyond their human ability. And somebody came along and sat down. And maybe the only thing they said was, "I'm here." Maybe you've experienced someone that's done that. Not going anywhere. I'm here. To have someone come alongside of you and to say, "I'm going to abide here with you. I'm going to remain here with you. I'm going to stay here with you because of what you're going through right now." Jesus does that for us. He doesn't go anywhere. I don't care what's going on. We maybe turn our backs on him. And he says, "I'm not going anywhere." Bad decision, dangerous decision. You might be heading in a direction that's not good for you, but my love for you doesn't stop, and I'm not going anywhere. The message that God's Word is communicating here is that when things get scary, when circumstances would seem to warrant that we give up and run, God is telling us to settle ourselves and to remain in Him, to dwell in Him, to stay and to wait and to endure. See, we think about abiding from his perspective toward us. In other words, how many of you here want Jesus to abide with you? Do you remember, let me see your hand, if you want him to abide with you. Do you remember the old song of the church? He abides, he abides. I know that Jesus abides with me. But very often we don't think about the other perspective where he's saying, will you abide? Will you abide? Will you abide with me? Our whole idea of the Christian walk and being forgiven and being a part of his family, we unintentionally view that as, Lord, that's your responsibility toward me. Because you promised that you would never leave me nor forsake me. So therefore, you have to abide with me. Well, we don't have to remind him of that in order to get him to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to abide with us. No matter what, he's going to abide with us. But I wanted to go back one more time and look at John 15, 1 through 7. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You ever felt like you've been pruned? You ever feel the pain, the cutting pain of that pruning process? Why does he do that? What does the end of verse 2 say? So that we may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Dwell in me. Wait with me. Alongside of me. And I want you to endure. If you've ever read Paul's letter to Timothy, one of the things that he says to Timothy, and Timothy was going through a rough spot. And you know what Paul said to him? He said, Timothy, I want you to endure hardness like a good soldier. Like a good soldier. Because good soldiers, when it gets really, really hard, they don't leave. They stay. And they fight. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And Jesus, I believe, is wanting us to understand how desperately he wants us to stay close to him. What did Jesus say in verse 4? There's three words that he spoke of verse 4 of John 15. There's one really, really big word in there that is not the word abide. In. Abide in me. He didn't even say what I think we read that word and we assume and we kind of paint our own picture. That means with. Mm-mm. He wants us in him. To be so absolutely intertwined and connected that from the inside out, that we are so deeply connected that it's not good enough to just be kind of close. But to be in him. And he said, when you do that, I will be in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered. Here's a scary part of this. And I believe the Lord is saying, I love you so much, I want to warn you, I want you to pay attention to this. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away. See, if you guys are like me, you don't would prefer maybe not to even read that. Man, it's like, I don't want that to be me. And I believe that's why Jesus is saying here, he doesn't want it to be you or me either. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Do you know what he's saying here? He's saying, this is what happens when you don't stay intimately connected and abide in me. That's the end result of thinking you can do things on your own. We can't. There's not a single one of us here that has the strength, the insight, the ability to say, I can figure this out, I got it. Jesus is saying, no, you don't. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So this passage paints a clear picture of Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. Our responsibility is to stay attached to him. This is that present tense form of trust that I was talking about just a few minutes ago. The correlation between this passage in John 15 and the communion passage that we just read is very clear. Just as we must as individual members of the body stay attached to one another in order to maintain a healthy growing body, we must also stay closely attached as the branch to the vine. And in order for us to maintain that present tense level of trust, we can't do that if we detach ourselves. There's closeness. There's a level of intimacy that Jesus, I believe, is saying is required horizontally and vertically. Miss Sue was talking about the gathering last night. You guys, well, I guess, I don't know if Robbie's doing nursery or children's. Are you here, Rob? Okay. I could talk about her right now. Sorry. She came home and was blown away. She felt so much love. You guys will never know. But what do you think God's heart is? That kind of thing would just, all the time, staying close. Not only abiding with us as the branch to the vine, that vertical abiding, but horizontal abiding, where we're there. I know you're going through a hard time. I'm here. Maybe you said something that I thought was really off the wall, and I don't understand it, and that hurt me, and it bothered me, but I'm here. Maybe you said something to someone else, and it caused some confusion, or it caused some pain, or it caused some frustration in some way, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. That being connected to Jesus is the life flow that enables us to stay connected to one another. Because have you ever heard of someone? Has anyone here ever lost a finger or a toe, or you've You know of somebody who has. There's a possibility if you move quickly that there can be a reattachment. There's a possibility. But if we disconnect a member, a part of our fleshly body from the body, and we don't get reconnected and come back together, that body part that's disconnected is going to die. It's going to die. And see, the body of Christ is universal. It's church-wide. And so we need to be connected to understand, what does this mean, Jesus? How do we stay connected? How do we stay connected to the Big C Church that's around us? How do we remain? How do we not run? How do we come alongside those that are hurting? How do we do those things? Because God does things within ministry that it seems like He orchestrates disconnections. It seems like, you know what Jesus describes Himself, to use a math term, do you know He describes Himself more from a division perspective than He does an addition perspective? So wait a minute, none of this doesn't make sense. What are you saying here? There are times that Jesus will do things that will give us the opportunity to reconnect or to connect in a new way with someone that we've never been connected to before. And a lot of the division that He is a part of is separating non-bearing dead branches that are taking away from the fruit-bearing branches. And so what does this look like? When we feel disconnected, God is saying, I want you to find that point of connection where My life-giving flow is the source. And we get complacent sometimes, and I think we miss what God is doing. I want to read one more passage, and I want to close with this. In 2 Corinthians 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 10. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. God comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any other affliction. How many of you have ever experienced pain in such a really intense and sometimes powerful way? And then you come into connection or relationship with someone else that is going through something similar, and you know you may be the one person on the planet that will be able to engage with that individual and bring some level of comfort. Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you see what Paul is saying here is? He will bring comfort in those affliction and through those afflictions that we experience, and then through that, with that same comfort that He gives to us, we then can be the open hands to pass that on. And that is so important within the local body of Christ that we get that. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Are we getting this? The intense suffering that we sometimes experience is linked together with the comfort that Jesus brings on the backside of that. And He wants us to take that and not bury it. He wants us to take that and keep it cultivated and keep that comfort alive and be aware. We're always ever watchful and always listening for someone else that's going through that kind of thing. Say, man, Jesus comforted me in a really, really profound way. And I just want to come alongside and I just want to be here. I just want to be here with you. Verse 6, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. And Paul says to the church at Corinth, our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Do you see this coming together that Paul is talking about? We've suffered, now you're suffering, and the comfort that you're going to experience has to come from us because we experienced it, and now we are the ones that are emissaries. We are the ones that God has commissioned to now come in and be the tangible hands and feet and arms that will wrap around you and show you the comfort of Christ, and that we can be united as one through that process. For we do, verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10, and then I'm going to read it one more time in the King James. This is in the ESV. Listen to verse 9 again. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that it was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us, on whom we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. What Paul was saying here in verses 9 and 10 is, I'll also read the first part of verse 9 again, and we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Paul felt like, man, this is so hard. We've been given a death sentence. There's no hope. And that was connected to the pain and suffering of earthly circumstances. But Jesus takes us through those seasons for one primary reason, that we would stop trusting in our human ability to overcome. And He allows those afflictions, He allows those sufferings as reminders that we could hear His still small voice and say, I'm still here. I'm still here. I haven't left. So listen to this in 2 Corinthians 1, 9 through 10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and still does deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. To put it in everyday language, that He'll deliver us again. The love of God, the grace of God, the determination that God has to just stay should give us hope and the ability and the strength to trust like we never had before. Have you ever been in that place where you're so lonely and so confused and so hurting, you just needed somebody? You just needed somebody to be there. You didn't need them to say anything. You just needed them to be there. How amazing is it to hear the still small voice of a loving Savior whisper into your ear and say, I know this is hard, but I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. Father, I just want to thank You that You're a God who stays. You're a God who stays. Thank You. abide. You abide. Hallelujah. You abide with me. Thank you, Jesus. That you stay. Father, I pray that you would just be near to us. Wrap your arms around us. Cause us to feel the safety and the protection that comes with staying close and being in you. In Jesus' name.